everybody. Bill Buckmaster here in the quarterback seat, while on the other side of the glass is Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom, should I drop that thing about the quarterback? I brought it up yesterday, but maybe I better drop it.
It's probably losing some of its luster.
Well, I mean, engineering have to do time management and all of that. But anyway, it's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon, a very pleasant afternoon to everybody. We're in our 11th year now on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie. Mr. Christie, how are you?
I'm great, and I think you should be known as the quarterback. After all, you're only 43.
Yeah, only 43. Yeah, like Tom Brady, right? Yeah,
you almost have as many years behind you as he does rings on his
fingers. I know. Well, actually, I've got 53 years in the business. So, yeah, there you go. Through this whole COVID-19 thing, and I usually mark it as St. Patrick's Day, the very sad St. Patrick's Day of 2020 when everything went south. There have been a couple of periods here on the radio where we've had to do everything telephonically. It's not the same, Steve Christie, as me interviewing you and seeing your eyes, seeing your facial expressions, as doing something over the phone, or in your case, with your fellow board of supervisors, doing meetings Zooming.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not in any way, shape, or form the type of venue or setting that we'd like to operate with. And the other element, too, is in addition to that contact of close proximity with your colleagues on the Board of Supervisors or in any kind of meeting situation, you also lose that connection with the audience members, particularly when we have a very substantial issue or a robust agenda and you want to
call to the audience.
You lose that ability to look at that person who has an issue that he or she has the right to raise. And to me, it's the most effective example of democracy in action is the call to the public, the call to the audience, because anybody under any circumstances can come before their elected official and bring up any issue that he or she wants and place it before those that they put into office. And that's all gone. That's missing. You have to kind of navigate a complicated maze in order to get any kind of a written record or a read record in place. It's just not the same. It's suppressing. And I certainly hope that we can go back to the standard meeting venues and platforms that we've all known and all agreed to and have been so useful and effective in our democracy sooner rather than later. And I agree with you. It's just not the same.
Well, I think our listeners will be surprised to learn, yes, there are three new Pima County Board supervisors.
60% of the board.
You have three new colleagues. But, folks, guess what? Steve Christie, he's only met one of them face to face. The rest of them have all been over the Zoom.
It wasn't the one I did meet was really not face to face. It was socially distanced with masks on and
that was Adelita Grijalva.
That was Supervisor Grijalva. I've had numerous contacts with Dr. Hines and Rex Scott, but it's all been either by text or by phone. And I've never actually physically bumped elbows or fists or shook hands.
Let's talk a little bit about this, the new eviction provisions in Pima County. There are two lawmakers who have now complained about this, Attorney General Mark Brnovich. Brnovich to rule that expanded eviction protections approved last week by Pima County, the supervisors, the vote was 4-1. You were the lone vote against this. Is this legal? These two lawmakers are asking Brnovich to say that it's not legal.
I'm certain there are very strong legal arguments and questions about its legality. What I was most upset about, or I should say against, was the form, was the process that this whole issue came before the board. There was no background material given to the supervisors prior to the meeting. It was put on the meeting agenda addendum, which is like the very last moment on a Friday afternoon, and there was no ability to deliberate or to discern both sides or bring both parties. And there are two parties. There are two elements to this whole issue. There's, of course, those who are renting and potentially could be evicted. But then there's those whose business and livelihood is being a landlord. And one cannot exist without the other. And there are a lot of dynamics involved that this piece of resolution was jeopardizing that whole formula and relationship, and it did not do the issue justice, in my opinion, because there was not a meeting of the minds, there was no collaboration, there was no ability for one side to put their feelings or their efforts of argument before the other. And I am always being urged to find collaboration or some sort of commonality between my colleagues and I, because I'm the lone Republican, and I implored them. I said, look, I would like to find something here that I can support, but in this present form, there is nothing I can grasp onto. This needs to be deliberated in a much more efficient, effective, and honest manner than just shooing it in under the cloak of the last minute effort here without all parties coming to the table to discuss this so that we could have something that might be able to be a benefit to both parties, and that might be something I can support as the lone Republican. But I couldn't, and I didn't, and I'm hoping that the rumors that I'm hearing are accurate, that there's going to be a motion to reconsider this issue of the evictions on next Tuesday's agenda. And I certainly hope that since the last meeting when this was discussed and passed by 4-1, that those who voted in favor of it have had time to reconsider, to look at all sides of the picture, to rethink their positions, and hopefully will go along with the reconsideration on Tuesday, if that happens.
Dr. Hines said this is to plug a legal loophole. This is folks unable to evict tenants because of non-payment of rent due to the pandemic, but apparently there are some loopholes that, like not trimming the hedges or some of the other things that kind of fell through the cracks.
Well, those may very well be true. I think they're more anecdotal than they are accurate. God bless Dr. Hines. He's dealing with saving people's lives and people's health, but he's never owned or operated a business. So I, as a businessman, I wouldn't tell Dr. Hines how to suture up somebody's scalp or open up somebody's chest. And I don't think it's proper or incumbent upon him to tell a business industry, a whole segment of a business industry, how to operate. Pardon the pun, how to function. And I think he needs to hear the other side of the picture, the landlord side that has the investments and the income that could be jeopardized, that could cause a spiraling effect and an ancillary problem that will ripple through the entire industry. It's a very sensitive issue, and it's one that really needs to have the whole process slowed down, discussed, analyzed, and discerned. And I think if he gives it the amount of attention that it requires, he might see what I'm saying about this whole issue, that it needs both parties to come to the table to come to a resolution.
All right, we have Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, the lone Republican on the 5-member board, with me in studio. But let's pause here before we get into another topic with Supervisor Christie. I am just all jazzed up still about the cinnamon roll that my wife brought home this morning. She made a run up to Mona's Danish Bakery, Steve, home of the Danish Kringle. And of course, she brought home one of the, she knows now I'm really into these cinnamon rolls. And I started with, I'll just take a very small sliver. Maybe I'll just do the kind of the outside of this kind of giant roll. You know where that led, Steve.
Sure. And speaking of Dr. Hines and surgery, it sounds like you've done quite a bit of surgery yourself.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I did a little surgery on that cinnamon roll. I've got still a little bit more for tomorrow morning, but, man, that was good. I think Steve and his team up there, owner and chief baker Steve and his assistant Michael, I think those just had come out of the oven. Oh, they were good. They're open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go by, say hello. Tell them Bill Buckmaster suggested a cinnamon roll or one of those for a while there was really on the blueberry muffins with the giant heads. Man, those were absolutely are delicious. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be back in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Cause without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie is my in-studio guest, Republican representing the 4th Pima County Supervisorial District. There are 5 members of the Pima County Board, and Steve is the lone Republican voice on the board. Up in District 1, our new supervisor, Rex Scott, coming up at the meeting on Tuesday, Mr. Scott has placed the following item on the agenda, Steve, and that will have to do with early childhood education. Can Pima County afford that right now?
My feeling is absolutely not. And, of course, Supervisor Scott comes from an educational background. He was a administrator and has vast experience in education, and I'm certain that obviously that's a passion of his and is a very foundational belief in how government should play a role in education. Unfortunately, for my position, as far as he's concerned on this agenda item, I don't feel it's the county's responsibility to fund preschool education or be involved that greatly in education matters countywide at all. I believe that flows from the state and from the legislature, and that is their responsibility. And certainly with a pandemic situation and a budget being in jeopardy for future programs, to take that kind of money. And this is one of the smaller amounts that I've seen over the years that they've been asking for as far as pre-K. I've seen as much as $80, $90 million. He's asking for 10. And then there's certain stipulations in there that I'm wondering what the criteria will be and who will make the judgments about quality pre-K education. I kind of liken it to putting a very fancy sound system in your car when the engine doesn't turn over. We have issues from K through 12 that have never been really fully addressed. And then to add this expense and this other layer of pre-K into the whole mix without looking holistically at our educational system and the costs that are being involved with that process, I don't believe that, A, it's our responsibility as a county, B, that we can afford it, and I don't believe the taxpayers of Pima County would support such a thing.
Driving here to the station from downtown, in your many years in this town, I don't know how many it is, but it's decades here in Tucson.
Born and raised.
Have you ever seen so many vacant shuttered offices and buildings with no business inside?
I really haven't. There have been times where obviously we've been suffering from cyclical events, everything from the savings and loan crisis to 9/11 to the Great Recession of 2008. So certainly a lot of that is replicated today. But this is so pervasive, and so it's not just bits and pieces. It's everywhere. It's the entire fabric of our community that is suffering. I feel that the COVID proclamations that the county has imposed on businesses, making businesses the bad guy and bearing the brunt of all of the issues and penalizing them unfairly, in my view, is a direct result that we're seeing in the items you just described, that there's vast unemployment, there's vast business closure. I, as a former businessman, I am constantly frustrated trying to express that to my colleagues and other county administrators, that they don't know what it's like to have a payroll ready Friday morning for your employees when Thursday night at 5 o'clock, when you close the doors, there's no money in the bank. And, they don't seem to grasp or
somebody's got to sign the front of the check.
And I don't think very few, if any, ever have. And that's, I think, a marked difference between my lens filtering, if you will, about how I look at things and the way they do. And if they just took the time to try to open their minds a little bit and have diversity of thought and see what a business owner has to go through under normal circumstances, and then have all of these proclamations and protocols and penalties and fines placed on top of them, it just is a bad situation that's gotten worse. And instead of finding real effort into, or placing real effort into trying to find ways to stop the spread that have a balance to them, they continue, the county continues and the health department continues to explore the continuance of failed methods, and then they want to add more failed methods on top of them rather than instead of. So it's a bad situation, and it's unfortunate that not more of my colleagues and not more of the health department and the county administration really recognizes what effects this has had on businesses and the toll it's taken upon them, and the virtual destruction of our economy.
Are we looking at a $50 million deficit because of COVID? Mr. Huckleberry was on the program a couple of weeks ago and saying if we don't get some reimbursement, that could be the case.
I'm certain that that's a very distinct possibility. I would think that before we get to that $50 million mark, there might be some breaks somewhere we could put on that. Maybe Dr. Hines could suture some financial holes in, yeah. in the budget.
Because there are going to be holes.
There are going to be holes, and I think they need to be explored and looked at before we get to that point.
We'll pause right here, talk for a few seconds about Green Things. We are in the Green Things Zilkalo Village studio. Steve Christie, we've got Valentine's Day coming up on Sunday, and you'll probably do the traditional flowers, but our roses. If you're thinking of something different, though, Steve, how about a beautiful plant from Green Things? You know the Green Things location over there. Beautiful 13 acres full of plants. So there's plenty of choices if you're looking for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, my wife is a very frequent
visitor
patron there, and it's a beautiful place and a large facility.
3384 East River Road. They're open daily. Their website's greenthings.com and zocalovillage.com. So the good news, I think, on COVID, I looked at the numbers today, Steve Christie. You know, the state puts out that dashboard on how we're doing, and from what I saw today for Pima County, we're under 100 cases, new cases in Pima County, which I haven't seen that in a long time. So we're really making progress.
It seems that we are, and I would hope that as progress is continuing to be achieved, that at the same time we will look at relaxing a lot of the issues that are creating this havoc in our business community and to business owners, particularly our food service and restaurant industry, that if these trends continue, that it is incumbent, I believe, for the county and the health department to, at the same time, reduce the stringent requirements that they've made on our businesses, and maybe it's the crack in the door that will allow a reopening of our community and our economy.
I bet your constituents, and you do have the Green Valley area, they are on the phone to your office every day about why they're having so much trouble getting a shot, getting that vaccine into their arms.
Yes, I do. We do. At the same time, I'm very proud of the infrastructure and the community involvement that the Green Valley folks have created in the dissemination of the vaccine. They've done a terrific job. They're an example, I think, of efficiency of infrastructure to provide the community with the inoculations. They've done a great job. The problem is, from the feds to the states to the county, there's different contracts, different providers, different set of criteria for who can get what, and nobody seems to know what the other hand is doing from the beginning. And a lot of my constituents are of a certain age that they don't really feel computer literate or internet literate. Many don't have access of either, and they're just absolutely horrified and frightened to death that they're not going to be able to get their vaccine, and they don't know how to do it, and they don't know which set of criteria they fall under or which program they're supposed to follow or even what link or phone number they're supposed to call. I'm sorry to say, but a very good example of government in action. And it appears to me that this rollout It was well known that it was going to be coming.
Yeah, for months.
And it would seem to me that they could have set up a helpline and a help link or some sort of a format weeks before the vaccines hit to at least be in place before the vaccines became available. That now the vaccines came available and somebody thought at the health department, oh, gee, maybe we ought to have a helpline. And then that crashed, and then that number was reassigned, and I just got a voicemail from a constituent today. It's heart-wrenching. They just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. So what are you telling them?
Well, we try to find out exactly what criteria they fit, the age, mm-hmm. Are they in a extended care facility.
Sure. If they qualify, you're trying to get that shot.
Yeah, and we try to guide them in a direction. So we can't do it for them, but we can at least give them the information and the tools to try to find the best and quickest solution so they can receive their vaccines.
All right, Steve Christie, thank you very much for visiting with us. We'll be back with you in a month or so.
One other thing?
Real quickly.
I love being supervisor. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. So you're up for re-election when? You were just re-elected.
I was just re-elected.
That's right. Okay.
My how time flies.
That's right. You were just re-elected. That's why, this is one of those years.
We call it COVID brain.
Yes, the COVID brain since last Valentine's, since last St. Patrick's Day. It's like a never-ending year. All right, Steve Christie, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Buckmaster in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's talk travel. I'm ready. Ryan Hansen is on the live line, ready to go. Right after this.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Time for insider travel talk on our program with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. He is the president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier agency since 1976, with experts who know the ropes, to say the least, in the travel business. They're ready right now to create a trip of a lifetime for you. Three offices at Bon Voyage over at River and Campbell. They're in Green Valley and Oro Valley. BVTravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. With us on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Ryan Hansen, who's over at Tucson Medical Center, volunteering his time to make sure that vaccine goes into as many arms as possible. How you doing, Rhino?
I'm doing great, and that is right where I'm at. So apologize for a little noise maybe in the background, but it is all for the right cause, as you mentioned, volunteering through Pima County at the Tucson Medical Center vaccination site here. And we will vaccinate approximately 1,100 people today alone.
Wow.
Here at TMC.
Well, let me do a big shout-out because I was fortunate enough, thankful very much. My wife and I were over at the TCC, and that operation was being handled by Tucson Medical Center on Monday. We were able to get our first shot, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And believe me, Ryan Hansen, this effort is amazing that this community is coming together. It would not be possible if there were not volunteers like you down there helping to orchestrate it.
Well, I thank you for that. It is, as a community member, as long as I have been, I've been in Tucson for 45 years, so I do feel it is our duty. And even at Bon Voyage, just a kind of a shout out to our owner, who has given time off to volunteer to anybody and from our staff. So if you're on our team, you don't have to take a day off.
Wow.
You don't have to take a day without pay. If you want to volunteer your time, we're going to allow that to happen, and because we do need as many hands on deck to get those arms vaccinated. So we are happy and pleased to be able to do it.
Rhino, let's talk about cruising as kind of a sign of the pent-up demand for the cruise travel. One of the ocean liners sold out their cruise. I think it was a round-the-world cruise. That sold out in a single day a week or so ago.
That's right, and it's granted, it's not going to sail till 2023, so I think there's some confidence, right, in the cruising public that by then we should be absolutely back to cruising as we know it. But that does indicate people are anxious, and you and I are in that same situation. We want to travel. We want to get out there, and that around-the-world cruise, it's not going to do that in three nights, Bill. That's over 100 nights on a ship. So
oh,
for people
boy.
To make that commitment, I think people have realized, if I'm going to be stuck in one place at one time, at least put me on a cruise ship and let me sail around the world versus shelter in place in my living room.
There you go. I want to clear up some confusion, Ryan Hansen, about the Alaska and the cruising situation. Of course, Alaska is one of the premier destinations for Southern Arizona as the hot weather is coming up. What is the very latest on cruise lines and upcoming Alaska cruises?
That's a great segue, Bill, and clarifying some things. The Prime Minister of Canada put out a notification to the world that Canada would not be allowing cruise ships to enter into and port on a Canadian port until February of 2022. And all of the cruise industry has had information sharing back and forth. The Prime Minister is obviously concerned about his own country's ability to distribute the vaccine. This isn't a shot across the bow at the cruise industry in general. It is more about a protection of his own people, which is obviously we support safety first in all cases. Why it's relevant, Bill, is there is an act that was put in place back by President Woodrow Wilson And it is the Passenger Services Vessel Act. It's also known as the Jones Act. And so what it does prohibits is foreign flagships, like many cruise ships, almost the majority of them, if they touch a U.S. port, they must also touch a foreign port before they go to another U.S. port. It was really put in place for industry, corporations, protection of our borders, utilization of those ports of call from a security standpoint, not necessarily about cruisers, the cruising industry that we know it today, but that's where the cruise lines are folded under that Jones Act. So long story short, Bill, Alaska is currently on hold until February of 22 for cruising. So are any Canadian ports or any Canada-New England itineraries that would touch a Canadian port. But what's happening now is Alaska congressmen and women are lobbying on Capitol Hill right as we speak to let the constituency and let the members of Congress know that the Jones Act is actually hurting United States citizens living in Alaska and trying to make a living in those ports of call, and that they are going to potentially have to close businesses forever if they lose another Alaska season.
Could a cruise start in Alaska? And this is really a two-part question, Ryan Hansen. First of all, for cruising, but those that don't want to cruise and still see Alaska, Bon Voyage can certainly set you up with land destinations, something my wife and I did a couple of years ago.
The number one point of clarification is that is Canada is not closed. Alaska is not closed. It's just the cruise lines that are 100 passengers or more are not going to be sailing unless there's a reprieve from the Jones Act or a reprieve from the Prime Minister of Canada's edict that no cruise lines over that size can touch. But can you go to Alaska on land? Absolutely. And those vacation opportunities can be planned, customized, and be ready to go for this summer to beat that heat here in Tucson.
Yeah, if somebody wants to see Denali National Park, which I highly recommend, your folks at Bon Voyage can make that happen this summer.
We can, and there's lots of people that are preferring that land vacation right now anyways for freedom of movement and space under the current situation we're living in until the world gets their arms around the pandemic. Land vacations are very popular, and obviously Alaska is relatively in our own backyard and would be a perfect destination for the summertime getaway that we all missed last year.
What are you booking as far as Caribbean? What is the thinking about the West Indies?
West Indies is booking well, again, for land vacations, and they're still, because of the Caribbean responding differently than how Canada is, there's still a fairly confident feeling that cruising will return in the Caribbean first, and that those seven-night sailings in the Caribbean this summer could be a great opportunity for somebody. But don't let that stop you. I know, Bill, you have island hopped without
yes.
a cruise ship many, many times,
yep.
and have loved that because you can settle in to one of those little tiny locations and just relax without having to be on the move as much.
Yeah, like our 2019 island hop throughout the Caribbean to an island little visited, Montserrat. But what a beautiful island. So you can get around in the Caribbean, and you don't need a cruise ship to do it. So there's all sorts of possibilities. And, of course, national parks. In 2020, we managed to carve out a couple of trips up to Mount Rainier. The people at Bon Voyage can take care of a national park vacation.
Absolutely. And what's little known, or at least maybe thought of, since you and I talk so much cruise, and that's a very popular way to travel these days, is that Bon Voyage, we can handle vacation rentals. We have large homes for multi-generational trips to be able to book for you. We have tremendous partnerships with resorts across America. So don't deny the domestic travel planning needs and expertise of Bon Voyage Travel and what we can get you in extra amenities and things. And the national parks would be one great thing to start with if you have not checked that off your bucket list.
All right, Ryan Hansen, we will let you get back to it over at TMC where you're helping out in the COVID vaccine effort. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. I'm glad you and Ann were both vaccinated, and glad you're staying healthy.
Thank you very much. Same to you and yours. BVTravel.com, first stop in making your travel dreams come true. We continue on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Talk a little bit about Valentine's Day and why we are the Valentine State.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. If you have a chance and you're dreaming about getting away for a long weekend, start thinking about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, because things will be opening up hopefully soon over in the Land of Enchantment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for all the information about where to stay. There's some really nice accommodations and all sorts of recreation opportunities. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson to Silver City. You'll have a great time over there, and hopefully, again, the Land of Enchantment will open up very soon. New Mexico is admitted to the Union about a month before Arizona. New Mexico is the 47th state. New Mexico admitted to the Union January 6, 1912, and then Arizona on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1912. So that means this Sunday will be Arizona's 109th anniversary. Let's bring in our resident historian, Ken Scoville. Ken, how are you?
I am fine. And when I heard you do the lead-in, I thought that's why we got the term the baby state, because we were just a little bit later and we were the last piece of the puzzle in the lower 48 states.
What makes Arizona the state it is today, Ken Scoville?
Well, I really think, and it's a huge question, but you can sort of put it into three main concepts. You want to look at the geography, the people, and their decisions and actions. And you can go on to any big map of Arizona, and you can see how this sort of transpires. But what helps, I think, people are more fortunate in Tucson, the Fort Lowell Historic District, is sort of a history of Arizona and those three reasons. in a microcosm. And part of the reason I've sort of done this little approach today is because we're going to talk a little bit later about Fort Lowell's reunion tour this year.
Yeah, and it's going to be go ahead.
It's going to be this January, and it's going to be online, which is the first time in, I think it's 40-year history, because, again, of COVID, that it's going to be online. And also, we're going to talk a little bit and weave the idea of water in and out with all of this. Well, and just like the Colorado River on the state level, the Reed or the Little River is really what made the Fort Lowell area work.
So really,
it became,
I was going to say, so the physical features have really shaped Arizona. You're mentioning here locally the Rito, Fort Lowell, right at the Rito, and that was the river was the reason that Fort Lowell, I guess, was settled where it is, right, Ken?
Yes, and every culture from prehistoric people to the Hohokam to when the Spanish arrived and would use that corridor, which used to be just lined with cottonwood trees, to when it then became Mexican families would move in, and then there was sort of an overlap between Mexican ranchers and the U.S. cavalry being based out there at Fort Lowell, what we know today. But it was a Mexican community, even to the 30s and 40s, called El Fuerte, the Fuerteños, or the farmers. So those different cultural layers, that geography, they're all the different people and the cultural layers, and then their decisions and actions, and they, at that time, took it to be farmers.
We were kind of a stopover state, weren't we? You've heard of flyover states. Well, before the airplane, there was the stagecoach and the railroad, and people stopped here on the way to the Golden State, to California.
Right, and you have to realize that first glance, and especially if you came through southern Arizona, there's nothing here. It's hot, it's rocky, where's the water, all those kinds of issues. And part of this happened is because of the geography of the state. The northern portion is the plateau region. The middle region is the mountain region. And then our lower deserts and flatlands. So because of that mountain corridor in the middle, most all the major, two major routes for Arizona would be the northern route and then the southern route. The southern route would actually happen a little more formally later on, because if the northern route got snowed in, there was no way to get to California. So that's why we would actually have, when we talked before about the Gadsden Purchase. But this is where people would want to just get through to California, partly because of the ocean over there, the gold rush, all these different events really transformed these corridors.
And Santa Cruz River is kind of the mother river of our area, because this is the area, kind of, Ken Scoville, this is on the banks of the Santa Cruz, the cradle of civilization as far as we're concerned here, going back thousands of years.
Yes, and Ken, probably 4,000 years that Native people would grow crops along the Santa Cruz, and earliest traditions would be that the Native people would plant seeds, melons and other kinds of seeds along the banks of the Santa Cruz, just like they would also in the Colorado, and wait for the flood stage. And then that would irrigate the crops. Then as the flood subsided, a little longer wait, more growing, and then they would harvest things. And that's, and those, the drainage pathways of Arizona from the snowmelt would fall, would cause these river corridors, which would be the main pathways for Native people, then early mountain men and explorers. And those pathways that were for the Natives would become wagon trails, then stagecoaches, train tracks, and even the interstate freeways.
Is water in our Constitution, the Arizona Constitution, how does it figure in there?
Well, if you look, and not to get too wonky, but Article 17 is water rights. And we're going to talk a little bit about, if anybody saw, I think it was Sunday's Arizona Daily Star, about the Lake Mead looking like a water bowl that's constantly going down. So we knew in Arizona when we finally became a state in 1910, when they were actually writing our Constitution, that we were really concerned about water. And so Section 1 says, the common law doctrine of riparian water rights should not obtain or be of any force in this state. And what that means is traditional riparian rights, if you went to Minnesota or whatever, if you own the land, you own that water and access to that water. And then somebody that might be downstream, they're just out of luck, but they probably got another lake. And what we decided is that we would call prior beneficial appropriation all existing rights to the use of any of the waters of the state for all useful or beneficial purposes are hereby recognized and confirmed. So let's say somebody farther down on the Santa Cruz, maybe 20 miles from Tucson, if they were using that water first, somebody up by a mountain could not dam up the Santa Cruz. Of course, this is not, should have picked, let's say, Marana, because the water actually flows in the north. But if somebody dammed something down by the San Javier Mission, they couldn't do that. It'd be illegal because we were benefiting the water beforehand. So whoever's taking the water first has to keep getting their water right.
And we're still fighting over water rights, aren't we, at the Colorado River?
Right. In fact, I was trying to do a little bit more research, and it just gets amazing. But in 1922, because California was booming so much, and the upper basin states were getting worried that California, because it had early water rights because of all its Spanish history and lots of other things, that they were taking so much water that the upper basin said, we don't know if we're going to get enough water. And then the Supreme Court in 1922 ruled that prior beneficial appropriation would be enforced. So this started this whole compact, and I am certainly not knowledgeable about all the legal things that have gone on. But as we're seeing water dropping, water table dropping, and all of this going on, and last count was maybe 15 million people are plumbed into the Colorado, it's going to get really interesting over the next 10 to 20 years.
What's that famous quote about whiskey and water?
Well, they always, it's the perfect one. Anytime you talk about Colorado River, it's credited to Mark Twain, but a lot of sources say no. It's whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. every time I hear a discussion about this, I just start laughing because that is so true.
Very true. What about the Fort Lowell reunion event? It's held every year, but this year it's going online.
Yes, and it's going to be on three different sources if you want to look. The Old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association Facebook page will carry it. Then if you want to go to a YouTube channel, they've created an Old Fort Lowell Neighborhood Association YouTube link, and that will go on to it. And it's supposed to go live on Saturday morning. And I actually, because I do a lot of things for Fort Lowell, they're actually going to have a little film footage inside the Trader's Post. Normally, no one gets to go in during a reunion tour, just the exterior. So people are curious to see how the Trader's Post looked on the inside, which is really probably one of the most grand adobe buildings we have in Tucson. You'll get a chance to go in and look at the inside of that.
What time does all that begin? Do you have any idea?
I would imagine it'll be uploaded and available, I would think, by 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Okay. All right, Ken Scoville, thank you very much. Folks can get more at the Old Fort Lowell Association website. Just Google that, and that will take you to where you want to go about the Fort Lowell reunion, which is this weekend. Thanks, Ken. We'll talk to you on St. Patrick's Day. And the connection, the Irish connection and Tucson, which is a pretty strong connection. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Ken Scoville, the resident historian of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up for our Thursday edition. My thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. I am Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey, that's always a very entertaining program about your money. And, well, they get into everything. Lifestyle. And Dave is not afraid to tell it like it is to those callers who call up and have their money questions. Have a great afternoon, everybody.